This morning's message is going to be entitled Shechem. And if you can imagine a movie theater or a television set, and on the screen, the big word Shechem comes up on the screen. And Shechem is an amphitheater of covenant renewal for the children of Israel. I want to tell you a little bit about this place called Shechem. It is amazing. It is in the middle of Israel, if you look at it, and it is between two mountains. It is a huge amphitheater for the Lord. One of the mountains is called Ebal, and Ebal is to the north, and the other one is Gerizim, and Gerizim is to the south. So, all right, you got that in place in your mind. There's two mountains. And the interesting thing about this particular place is when people gather there, their voices can be heard. The people who are on Mount Gerizim can be heard by the people on Mount Ebal, and the people on Mount Ebal can be heard by the people on Mount Gerizim, and the valley in between, the valley of Shechem, everybody can hear. Can you imagine such a place? Isn't that fabulous? Wouldn't that be a great place to have Soul Fest? Huh? You can imagine a stage up there, my goodness. And you got a group singing over here, and as soon as they're done, the group starts singing over here, and everybody's rejoicing and praising the Lord. Very, very nice, but this is even better than that, because this particular place is a place of covenant renewal for the children of Israel, the Hebrew children. They are there for a very special reason. This is a solemn occasion. And before we get into it this morning, join with me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I simply pray that each one here this morning will know that you love them by being here this morning, that we will return that love by you, and that you just put a guard over me. Help me to say the things that I have prepared in an organized way, and I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title is Shechem. Underneath that is an amphitheater of covenant renewal. And the first thing that we need to know about a covenant renewal is what is a covenant. So Roman numeral number one, covenant. That's all you need to write. And a covenant is a binding agreement between God and man. He sets these up, and this binding agreement is often conditional. For instance, the agreement with Adam, the first man, Adam and Eve. After they had sinned in the garden, God made a covenant with them. He said, you're going to go out and you're going to work the field by the toil and sweat of your brow, and there are going to be thistles growing up, and you're going to remove them. They're going to be weeds. Ugh. But if you go out and work the land, I will be faithful, and I will bring food right up out of the land. I'll do my job when you do your job. In other words, if you work, you can eat. First covenant. If you don't work, neither shall you eat. Seems clear enough. It's reiterated by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament as he talks to the churches in the New Testament. He says, you work, you eat. You don't work, you don't eat. That's a covenant. Okay, the second covenant was with a guy named Noah. Okay, Noah, as we all know, there was the Noahic flood. After the flood, God made a covenant with Noah. He says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer shall remain. That's in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. That's his promise. In other words, he said, I'm in charge of climate control. And he made an additional promise. He said, not only am I in charge of climate control, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to put a sign in the skies just so that you'll always remember it. It's called the rainbow. And whenever I see that rainbow, I'm going to remember my covenant with you that I will never again flood the earth and that I will keep the seasons in order as long as the earth remains. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, like that covenant? I like it a lot. He made another covenant, and it was a guy named Abraham. Abraham, he made a covenant. He wanted to start a people of his own. He wanted to call Abraham out of the place where he was, the Ur of the Chaldees, and he wanted to set him up as a very select, special people. And he said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you that whoever blesses you, I'm going to bless. Whoever curses you and your people, I'm going to curse. And I will make you as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the sea, innumerable. That's what your children are going to be. And God blessed him. God made that covenant with him. He kept the covenant. He made the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, came forth. And as they came forth, all kinds of things happened to him. One of the things that happened to him is they got in slavery down in the land of Egypt, right? And then he had a deliverer come. His name was Moses, a leader. And he made a covenant with Moses and with the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. He said, I'm going to give you laws. If you obey these laws, I'm going to bless you. I will continue to be your God. It's conditional. If you disobey these laws, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to curse you. You had blessings and you had cursing. Okay, it's a conditional covenant. Kind of like in the land of America, where we have a thing called a constitution. Moses' laws had 10 commandments. He also had precepts. There were also bylaws that they had to follow. And Moses gave them all to the children of Israel. We have 7 articles of the Constitution, and we have 27 amendments to the Constitution. 10 of those amendments became our Bill of Rights. And you all know every one of them, and you can recite them to me this morning if I call on you. The children of Israel were to know the 10 commandments. They were to write them on the doorpost. They were to write them on their hands. They were to write them on their clothing. They knew all 10 commandments. This wasn't anything new for them. So let's look into the Word of God this morning, because now the children of Israel have entered the promised land. They have crossed over the Jordan. Moses was on the other side, and he told them, when you get over there, I want you to have a solemn meeting. I want you to ratify with the Hebrew children my covenant with them. And this is where they're going to do it, in Shechem. And here's what the Word of God says. Joshua is now their leader. Turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 8, and I'm going to be reading from Joshua chapter 8, that it came to pass when Israel had made verse 24 of Joshua chapter 28, and I am reading from the New King James Version. Can everybody hear me? And it came to pass, verse 24, when Israel had made the end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai, that's spelled A-I, in the field, in the wilderness, where they pursued them, and when they had all fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai, struck it with the edge of the sword, so that it was that Ai who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, and all the people of Ai. Isn't it interesting that the Bible talks about Ai? Yeah. In the final battle that the children of Israel fight, before they ratify the commandments of the Lord and become a nation, was the battle of Ai. You can't make this stuff up. We think of Ai as artificial intelligence today, don't we? Wouldn't it just be amazing if the final battle, before we get to the promised land, before we get into our promised land, which is heaven, the battle of Ai. Just interesting. That's just a side note. So now we'll get into the message today. I did not wear a watch intentionally. Joshua. Okay, we're in chapter 8, and we're going to drop down to verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God on Mount Ebal. Okay? What are the two mountains? Ebal and Gershom. Ebal is to the? Gershom is to the? Valley in between. Whoop! So far, get an A. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whose stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool, they offered on it burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, with the elders and the officers and the judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests and the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant. So the ark of the covenant is there in the centerpiece between the two mountains. The stranger, as well as those who were born among them. In other words, there were not only the Hebrew children, but all the children of the nation who had submitted to them and joined them. Very important thing. If you're going to become part of the nation, you got to find what the rules are so that you can abide by the rules. For some people, that's a new concept. You just let everybody in that you want in your nation, and you don't tell them what the rules are. How can they abide by the laws of the nation if they don't know what the laws of the nation are? Does that make sense? It would seem so. Half of who? The children, these leaders, were on Mount Gerizim. So they got one half over there. These are the elders of the people, the leaders of the people. And the other half of them were in front of Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal. So half of the people over here, the leaders, and half of the people are over here. Okay? Ark of the Covenant in the middle. Mount Ebal, that's where they're building the altar. Okay? A lot going on here, man. We're having a party. So let's look at this. And afterwards, read the words of the law, the blessings, the covenant, the blessings, and look what it says, and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There is not one word of all that Moses has commanded which Joshua would not read before the assembly. The whole assembly of Israel is there. They just won a battle. This is a celebration time. With the women, the little ones, the strangers, and all who were living among them. Man, that's a big congregation. We're going to hold church. And where are we going to hold church? We're going to hold church in God's amphitheater, outside. And we got a mountain over here, we got a mountain over here, we got the children of Israel, Shechem in the middle, right there in the valley. So, what did Moses tell them to tell them? Say to tell them. Well, we're going to look at that. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Let's take a look at it, because this gets good. This gets real good. How to set up a nation. How to get it going. We're going to renew this covenant. We're going to start out with verse 11. And Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, "These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. And these are the leaders of the country." These are the leaders of the nations. There's going to be 12 of them. There's actually 13, but we're going to say 12. And the reason we're going to say 13 is because Joseph was divided into half tribe. Remember? You do? Ephraim and Manasseh. There's my student right there. So here it says, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. They're standing on one mountain. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal. Ebal is to the... Oh, man, good guys are good. To curse the children of Israel. You got six of them over here standing on a mountain, and they're going to bless the children of Israel through the covenant. And the other ones are like the law enforcers. They're going to stand on the other side of the mountain. They're going to curse the children of Israel. What does it say? To curse. And these are the six that are going to stand over there. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Okay, so you got the leaders of the tribes of Israel there. There's how many of them? There's 12. There's actually 13. Now why is that neat that there's 13? You know, when the United States was founded, there was another leader. His name was George Washington. He just had a battle too. He'd won the battle. A lot to thank God for. And he had set up this thing called the Constitution, and it needed to be ratified. So how many territories were there that needed to ratify the Constitution? 13! Whoa. There's some similarities there, aren't there? Who was the last one to ratify? What territory was the last territory to ratify the Constitution of the United States? No, New Hampshire. You would think it was Vermont, but it wasn't. Vermont was part of New York at the time. Anyway, let's get back to this. So, let's talk about these elders. Let's talk about the country that's to be formed. Chapter 27, we're going to go back to verse 1. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I have commanded you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones, whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter into the land which the Lord God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. I love this. I would love to have been there. I would love to have been there. Have you got a picture of this congregation? Thousands of soldiers, thousands of Hebrews, with their wives, with the women, with the children. They're standing there in a valley of Shechem. And they got two mountains. And they got 12 leaders. And six of them are over here and six of them are over there. And in the middle is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is there. And while these people are all gathered and they're having such a great time, what do they see? They see the priests over here. And what are the priests doing under Joshua's rule? They're building an altar. And they're making it out of these big white stones. I would love to have seen this. And as they made it out of these big stones, they wrote on the stones the Ten Commandments. Maybe they wrote one commandment on each stone. I don't know. But they're making an altar, and they're writing on the stone the commandments of God. Can you imagine that crowd? Hey, what are they doing over there? Oh my goodness, look at that. They got the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? Three things in the Ark of the Covenant. The law, the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and a bowl of manna. What did that represent? God is the author of the laws. Aaron's rod that budded is God is in control who gives those laws. He's in control of the truth disseminated. And he provides the bread, the sustenance for us to live. In the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the way, the law. I am the truth. And I am the life, the bread of life. Isn't that great? And it was right there. Now, they had the commandments hard copy. And when I say hard copy, we're not talking about paper. We're talking about written in stone. You know? Fantastic. Let's read on. So there it was. Therefore, it shall be when you have crossed over the Jordan on Mount Ebal, that you shall set up these stones. This is the altar they're building, which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime, and there you shall build the altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. Now we got this big amphitheater with mountains all around and people all around. Now we got fire. I like fire. Don't you think? Sometimes I think the Church of God, not just in the amphitheater, not just here, but the Church of God needs to be set on fire. Don't you think? There needs to be a fire kindled in the hearts of men and women today to get out there and spread the gospel, spread the good news. Say what God has told us. And you shall offer peace offerings. You know what the peace offerings were? Lambs, bulls, goats, all of which are called today, when we go to the grocery store in the meat section. They're cooking meat. They're cooking meat on the altar. Got a big barbecue going on here. Say, really? Yeah. Then what it says, and shall eat there. These people are having a party. They're celebrating the war. They just won the war. They've got the people sharing what the Ten Commandments are, and they've got the Ark of the Covenant there, they've got the altar there, and now they get to eat there and rejoice before the Lord. In other words, there's probably singing going on, and they're just having a really great time. Remember, Miriam, Moses' sister, wrote a song, right? Moses himself wrote songs. They're probably singing the songs. And you shall write plainly on the stones the words of the law. Then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become, today you have become the people of the Lord your God. You've become a nation. Therefore, you shall... Oh, just a tough word. Begins with an O. B. E. Y. You shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe His commandments and His statutes, which I have commanded you today. In other words, they are becoming a people, a civilized people, biblical citizenship. Yes. And they were dancing. Say with me, biblical citizenship. Oh, we're having a party, folks. Biblical citizenship. Good. Say it like you mean it. That's what we have. That's what they had. When our commander is sworn into office, what does he put his hand on as he is sworn into office? The Word of God. Amen? Amen. And our government, just like their government, was formed to enforce the law. If you don't enforce the law, what good is it to have the law? Let's take a look at it. Let's see if we're right. So let's read on. I am in Deuteronomy chapter 27, and the Levite shall speak with a loud voice. You don't keep this quiet and shout it out. And say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. In other words, what is the first of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay? So they're going over that one. No other gods before me. And all the people answered and said, Amen. They get the message. Alright? You're going to have laws. People need to understand what the laws are, and they need to agree to the laws, or they're out. What a concept. Cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. What's the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and you will live long upon the earth. And then what does it say? And all the people shall say,
Amen.
Amen. Biblical concept. I am looking for a reference, and I believe it's in Leviticus. Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 14 and 15. Let's go back a couple books to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 14 and 15. It says, But if you do not obey me, and do not observe these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all the commandments, but break my covenant, drop down verse 18, and after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. If you obey me, I will bless you. You disobey me, I will curse you. And the curse, the punishment, will be seven times worse than your disobedience. See, God is making forth a law here. Until the punishment for the crime is worse than the crime or the perceived pleasure of the crime will continue to happen. It's a biblical concept. Think about how great that is. God says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And he says, spoil the rod, and you will spare the rod, and you will spoil the child. Can you imagine as your child is growing up, when it's really little, and you give them a commandment, you give them an instruction for their benefit, by the way, and you say, don't touch that. Stove is hot. Keep the fork out of the electrical socket. It will not go well with you. Sit here. Whatever it is. And they disobey, they know a punishment's coming. And so you apply the board of correction to the seat of knowledge. And if they know that and they see that, it's in their mind, if I obey, it goes well with me. If I disobey, I'm going to be punished. And they get in that track. And as they get older, the punishments go away because they know that they know what the boundaries are. And they know if you do this, good things will happen. If you do that, bad things will happen. I know my boys. I had two boys. One of them was more like one of the parents, and the other one was more like the other parent. One of them was pretty compliant. The other one always wanted to test the boundaries. If you know what I mean. They wanted to push it a little bit. You know? Had to be a little tougher with that particular son. Sometimes he would count the cost. And he would say, well, what's the penalty for this? I'm going to ground you. You're going to worst your head and dirt it. And he would say, I think I'll do it. You know, he had to increase that penalty at least seven times. Praise God. That's what a parent is supposed to do. As it goes with the family, so it goes with the nation, folks. If you have a deterrent for disobedience, disobedience will stop. I loved it. They set up a nation in the land of Israel. We set up a nation here. They had to abide by the rules. We need to abide by the rules. If we don't abide by the rules, we're going to fall. Israel eventually was captured by the Babylonians. The reason they were captured by the Babylonians is because their leader, the king, didn't want to abide by the rules, and he wanted to let in people into the land who didn't abide by the rules. After all, if he's not abiding by the rules, why should the people coming in have to? As a matter of fact, they're kind of helping me out here by not abiding by the rules because I don't want to abide by them either. That's when God steps in. And just like punishment comes in a family, punishment comes to a nation. It's a great book out there. It's called Freedom's Frame. It is by Rick Green. Okay? A fabulous book. I highly recommend it. And the Lord wills, the men's group, starting in September when we start meeting together as a men's group, we are going to be going over this book. Okay? So if you want to get a copy of it again, it's Freedom's Frame, Rick Green. It really gets into the founding of our country and what the leaders did and the deliberations going on by the founders. Why the Constitution means what it says. Whole new concept. Praise the Lord. I just want to leave you with this. Today it is no different than it was back in that time. And I don't want to give a message without letting you know the gospel truth that Jesus came and gave his life on the cross for our sins. He said, if you will confess your sins, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will become your Savior. I will be your Savior. But it has to be spoken. It has to be a point in time. It has to be a time, a particular time again, when you are born again. When you were born the first time, you weren't slowly born after 5 or 6 years. That isn't how you become a Christian. That isn't how you were born, and that's not how you become a Christian. You must use words, for it is by the words that you become a Christian. And what do you say? I am sorry for my sin. I realize you shed your blood on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. I realize that you rose again, and I want you to be Lord of my life. And you tell somebody else. Now you say, Bill, it can't be that simple. Yeah, it isn't. Try to get somebody to say it. It proves itself. They won't do it. They have to think about it a long time. The work has all been done. You verbally need to come to the Lord and He'll take care of the rest. You say, oh, Billy, but what about a person who isn't sincere? I always love that excuse. They might not have been sincere. I want to ask you people, how sincere were you when you were born the first time? Imagine the mother looking at the child and saying, he's sincere. He doesn't exist. Listen, you can't be sincere. You have no idea what God has in store for you. But He does, and He knows His plan for you is much better than any other plan you can come up with. And if you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful invention, but you have to come to that place where you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's going to change our country more than anything else is a heart change. And when people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior, and they have the heart change, it's amazing how all the other problems go away. Because He has a plan for your life. I hope you take advantage of that plan for your life, and I'm going to ask Butch to come on up and close us in song.
Bill, you just burnt more calories than I will all day. Good job. Appreciate that. Okay, let's, in closing, let's stand, and in your hymnal, which is in front of you and below the seat, page 349. Again, that's 349. First, third, fourth, and fifth. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the third, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the fourth, but we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And on the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And let's close in prayer. Father, that simple word to spell, but not always so simple to withhold, O-B-E-Y, is something that we all recognize we need to do, and we need to do more often and consistently. Father, we pray that you will help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.